kind of begs the question. If they think they need to be involved in everything, then, of course, that's going to prevent them from being able to be freed up to things that are more and more meaningful. You know, it all, as you know, it always comes back to, well, where are they going? What do they want to be accomplishing? If they're on track to accomplish that by being a, quote, a micromanager, then that's fine. If that's preventing them from being able to put their focus somewhere that will take them where they ought to be going in terms of playing the bigger game, if they have a bigger game to play, then sure, that's just inappropriate use of that. And oftentimes micromanagement is simply because you don't trust. You don't trust yourself or you don't trust the people around you. So building in the ability to be able to entrust things to a system or a systematic approach allows that to be a little bit easier. You're not going to change people's personalities. You know, you can change how they express that. If you have a high attention to detail, which oftentimes are the kinds of personalities that you would say, you know, tend to be micromanagers, they want to make sure everything's perfect. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You just want to be able to lift that to the level that it's working for you as opposed to a limitation.
And have you had to work with or consult for micromanagers in the past? I mean, did you ever find yourself telling them to step back, just slow it down?
I don't do that kind of coaching or consulting. You know, my whole thing is, what has your attention? Why does it have your attention? What do you need to do to get your mind off of that? And what do you need to do about that? Now, that can take on a lot of subtle levels that will address what I've just been talking about. If they have their attention that they should be doing something that they're not, I go, well, great. What's your next step on that? How do you need to manage that? And what I do is get people to actually objectify what is their inventory of all of their commitments and all the things they think they ought to or should be involved or engaged in. And then once they take a look at that, most people will then self-regulate and go, whoa, I got a whole lot more to do than I can possibly do. Most people just have no idea how many things they've committed to. So once you become conscious about that, you know, you'll be invariably you will be smarter about how you make your decision, because you can only do one thing at a time. Is it half empty or half full? Meaning, is the thing that you decided to do the right thing you ought to be doing, or are you feeling, you know, crappy about all the stuff you're not doing because you're doing this other thing? That's really the game. So you want to be able to be appropriately involved so you can be present with whatever you're doing. So, you know, the ability to be present and have your full attention. And by the way, innovative leaders, when you sit down with them, you'll feel like they're not rushed. They don't have to go somewhere else. They're not looking at their smartphone. They're looking right at you. And they're present. And, you know, all you have to do, you know, so, you know, whether that's the cause or the result of being an innovative leader, I don't know. And that oftentimes, you know, that is an indicator of somebody who's got their act together.
Okay, so overall, how do you yourself use your own system?
Well, I use it, you know, as I said before, my personal style and inclination is to follow my spontaneous intuitive hunches and just feel good about whatever I'm doing and plan as little as I can get by with, because life changes a lot. So I don't structure anything that I don't need to structure in order to be able to get it off my mind. And so, you know, practically speaking, usually the night before the day, you know, I'm checking in on, you know, what is my hard landscape? What are the commitments that I've got? Where do I need to be when? How do I structure myself in space and time? And then on some regular basis, and usually on a weekly basis, you know, I step back for a couple of hours and catch up. What are all the things I'm committed to? What has changed? What's the status of all the things that are unfinished yet that I still have some level of commitment to finish? And essentially bring up the rear guard. So, you know, probably, and by the way, that happens to be one of the things that is probably most lacking or most in the way of people being innovative leaders, is their lack of reflection time and their lack of ability to be able to sort of catch up in the world that they're involved in and be present with that.
Dave, you've had a wide and varied number of professions before becoming a consultant. What are the organizational lessons you learned from that time?
You know, a lot of what I learned was how many things are common to everybody trying to run a business, trying to manage a business. And I was a pretty good number two guy. You know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I grew up, but I had a bunch of interesting friends who were doing interesting things. So I wound up, you know, helping them, you know, do a lot of what they were doing. What was fascinating was sort of commonly, oftentimes the biggest issue was the fact that they had processes that weren't working, that were in the way. Or that was the biggest improvement opportunity that they had, was, you know, they were lacking sort of the ability to execute on creative stuff.